Kia ora, ko Daniela Moa te koksaho, no mai ki te whare, welcome to the house. Budget 2019 was announced last month, and as the flurry of media coverage eases, you'd be forgiven for thinking that it's a done deal. In actuality, the budget isn't even close to being done with, and budget isn't even its real name.
Appropriation 2019-20 Estimates Bill Introduction.
The Appropriation 2019-20 Estimates Bill is set down for first reading forthwith.
Mr. Speaker.
The budget is actually a bill, which needs to be passed by Parliament, and on May 30 that bill was introduced and went through its first stage in the House without the usual two-hour debate. The Finance Minister, Grant Robertson, then delivered the budget statement, which is a long speech with a lot of budget details.
This year, ministers worked closely together, focusing on how they could collectively tackle the budget priorities.
We have increased the operating allowances for new spending in this budget to an average of $3.8 billion per year over the.
We have also increased the multi-year capital allowance by $1.7 billion to $4 billion.
The increased government investment in Budget 2019 will stimulate.
A government does not determine a person's well-being, but we can certainly play a part.
Following that was the Leader of the Opposition, Simon Bridges.
Wellbeing, Mr. Speaker, that's what we've been promised. It's as if other governments haven't had this at the heart of what they've been doing for decades and decades.
Then the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern.
When our Finance Minister was in opposition, he created this piece of work not because it was an interesting project, which it is, but because he heard many an economist say that GDP wasn't enough to measure success, and he agreed and did something about it.
15 hours in total is allowed for this debate in the House, and with the bigger party leaders all done on day one, it's up to the other MPs to take up the rest of the time. What they choose to talk about varies, but most speak on their specific portfolios.
Honourable Phil Twyford. Building rail as the sustainable backbone of our 21st century transport system.
I call the Honourable Amy Adams.
Madam, every sensible commentator makes the point that the economy is what pays for well-being.
I call the Honourable Shane Jones.
Nigh on $900 million put aside to drive initiatives in the region.
I call the Honourable Julianne Genta.
As Minister for Women, I'm proud to see one of the largest budget increases for the Ministry for Women, which will be very important.
Some topics pop up regularly in the speeches, like education. Associate Minister for Education and Minister for Ethnic Communities, Jenny Salesa, spoke about a cultural competency program called Tapasa.
When students feel that they or their parents are being put down, they don't feel welcome in schools, Mr. Speaker. And so this particular cultural competency tool is a framework for teachers who actually work with the majority of our students. And so in this budget, within that $7.4 million, Mr. Speaker, we've invested money to ensure that it is a tool that more of our teachers, I'm not talking about Pacific teachers or Māori teachers, I'm talking about the majority of teachers who teach our students in schools, that they actually get to know how to appropriately support our students in schools.
ACT Party leader David Seymour with a critique.
It's things like our education system. You know, we got two-fifths, nearly half of students coming to the level of NCEA level 2 without the basic literacy and numeracy standards that are demanded by international examinations or international benchmarks such as PISA.
While this debate continues over several days in the House, ministers are fronting up to select committees for a grilling from MPs.
Did you give mind at this budget to reinvesting that money in early childhood education, given what I understand to be a significant...
What is the job description that you landed on in terms of the requirements for education or training? Or
whether the Ministry of Education have only done work on the coalition promises in education, or whether they're doing work on the wider promises in the Labor Party manifesto. Secretary, can you answer that for us?
Well, no, I can't answer that, which is that where the Labor Party manifesto is relevant...
I think it is a really important point of order.
These are known as the estimates hearings. They take place in Select Committee, which is a smaller group of MPs from a mix of parties that meet to examine bills, petitions and hear from the public. In this instance, their job is to quiz the Minister on the spending plan for a particular area. At the Education and Workforce Committee, National MP Nikki Kaye questioned Minister of Education Chris Hipkins on a bill introduced under urgency. The bill would affect school donations for schools in deciles 1 to 7, and the policy was part of the budget announcements.
School donations, Minister. So can you just confirm, you said publicly you're never planning on actually extending the school donation scheme to deciles 8, 9 and 10 in terms of discretionary payments. Can you just confirm that you didn't put any budget bids or do any work around deciles 8, 9 and 10 being included?
No, I can't. And actually, that's not what I said. I think if you listen to my answers in question time yesterday, I said that it may well be extended to decile 8, 9 and 10 schools in the future, but that's a decision for another day.
Like Select Committee hearings, question time is also a tool to hold ministers to account. The day before, Nikki Kaye asked Chris Hipkins about this topic.
Does he stand by his promise to ensure that schooling is genuinely free, given his decision that disadvantaged families in decile 8, 9 and 10 schools are excluded from the donations bill and are being denied an opportunity to have reduced costs?
Mr. Speaker, yes, when we costed that, when the Labor Party costed the policy in opposition, we were clear that we had costed for uptake of the policy by all decile 1 to 7 schools. We had to start somewhere. And of course, we targeted the policy deliberately at those schools that had the highest concentration of disadvantaged students, which are the lower decile schools.
Mr. Speaker, supplementary question. Will he admit that he has broken his promise to provide incentive payments for all state and state integrated schools in exchange for their agreement not to ask for parental donations?
Mr. Speaker, I don't think the member listened to my original question. If she listened when we announced the policy, we were very clear that the policy costings were based on decile 1 to 7 schools taking that policy up. In the future, it may well be that we're in a position to extend it to other schools. That's, of course, a decision for another day.
Back to the estimates hearing.
So just to confirm, you did request information on including decile 8, 9 and 10.
A range of issues in preparing any budget bid are always considered.
Well, no, I'm asking a direct question, yes or no?
Yeah.
Again, like question time, sometimes an MP from a government party will ask a softer question. Here's Labor MP Jan Tinetti.
Good morning, Minister. Just on that school donations, what impact do you think that policy is going to have upon New Zealanders, children, whānau and the wider public?
I think the feedback that we've had from school leaders is that it will have a significant impact, particularly for some of those lower decile schools that don't get the proportion of locally raised funds that higher decile schools have been able to raise. So schools who collected maybe $2,000 or $3,000 in donations per year now, they might ask for a $50 donation, but only a handful of their parents will pay it. That, you know, they might collect $2,000 or $3,000 in a good year, and they could, depending on the number of kids that they have at their school, stand to get $50,000 to $70,000 extra funding. So I think that's going to make an enormous difference to those schools.
National's Nikki Kaye follows up with another question on the school donations bill.
Back on the donations question. So you're just absolutely confirming that you did some work around deciles 8, 9 and 10 and you basically didn't get the funding from the Minister of Finance, is that right?
No, we didn't ask for it in the end. Ultimately, the budget bid that we put together was a budget bid that I was comfortable with.
The bill these MPs are talking about was introduced and passed its first reading under urgency. Normally, a bill can't go through more than one stage per sitting day, mostly so MPs have some time to read it and prepare. But under urgency, a bill can go through stages more quickly, shortening a process which can take months or sometimes years.
Many schools are dependent on financial contributions from parents, and that does need to change. The request for donations can place significant financial pressure on parents, and there is often significant pressure to pay what are supposed to be voluntary contributions. Access to free education is the best way to ensure that every New Zealander has a fair shot at success. This year's budget delivers the largest vote education increase in 10 years. There are around 1,703 schools in New Zealand who will be eligible for an additional $150 per student
if they choose not to ask their parents for donations, if they choose to accept this, this policy. Boards of trustees who opt in to receive the $150 per student per year will have to agree to certain conditions, the main one being to stop asking for donations from parents. This will be in place from the beginning of the 2020 school year. The scheme will be delivered through a new discretionary grant for decile 1 to 7 schools, and it will result in the largest increase in schooling operations grants for those schools in 10 years. By decreasing the number of schools that request donations, we'll be reducing the pressure and the widespread expectations that schools need to ask parents for donations.
Nikki Kaye raised some issues the National Party has with the bill.
National will support this bill through to its first reading, but we will certainly be pointing out the inequities, the huge inequities that this Minister of Education is creating with this bill. And one of them, as I've mentioned, is around these decile 8, 9 and 10 schools that are excluded. But also it's really important to understand that this is on the backdrop of Labor stalling the policy around scrapping deciles and investing additional money into deciles. So I have examples of schools that, again, expected to have a much more fairer funding system because National had put in the funding review, but it also argued to scrap decile systems and put additional funding in. So you've got schools that are now losing twice. They're losing because they don't have that fairness of a new equity funding system with additional cash. And now they're losing because they're excluded from a policy where they don't have to charge donations for an incentive payment. So you've got huge inequity that National will be talking to.
Once a bill passes its first reading, it normally spends about 6 months at Select Committee. This gives time for MPs to examine it and for the public to submit their views. Mr Hipkins moved for the report back date to be sooner.
The Honourable Chris Hipkins.
I move that the Education School Donations Amendment Bill be reported to the House by the 19th of August. Mr Speaker, this is a very simple bill. It has five clauses. It puts into law a very straightforward idea, which is that if schools don't comply with the requirements, then the money should be able to be recovered. The shortened timeframe is required so that schools will have certainty when the new regime is introduced and when they're setting their budgets for next year.
The time for people to submit their view was also shorter than usual. Nikki Kaye asked Chris Hipkins to justify this at the estimates hearing.
Well, Minister, can I just confirm as well? Look, we're in a situation where we've got about 700 schools that are affected. You put a truncated report back so that there wasn't the time, in my view. We've now got 5 days left for parents and 700 schools to potentially give their view to the committee, but also the other thousands of schools. Why did you do that? Why did you truncate and muzzle potentially parents and schools on this really important issue?
The bill itself is actually a very simple bill. It simply creates a power for government to recoup funding from schools that don't meet the conditions that are attached to that funding. And that's basically all it does, as you will have seen. It's actually a very short, very simple bill. And it doesn't get into the merits or otherwise of the $150 for donations scheme. But the schools will want to have certainty around what the criteria are that will apply, because it's going to be voluntary, so they can choose to opt in or out of it. And they'll want to know what those criteria are before the end of the year and fairly soon after their new boards are elected, because their new boards will be the ones making decisions.
Do you not accept that this bill for schools that are, every school in New Zealand is affected, they're either in or out of the scheme, that it's probably the bill that has one of the largest public interest implications in terms of parents and teachers, and that it would be better than having 11 days, effectively, as submissions on this bill? You don't agree with that? It's not important.
I think there's huge public interest in the policy. There's no question about that. It's good to see you acknowledging that. But the bill itself is actually only a very, very small part of that. It simply puts in an ability to recover funds where the criteria of the scheme are not being met. It doesn't actually deal with the merits of the policy at all.
Don't you think that's splitting hairs, given that you've only provided the appropriate funding for deciles 1 to 7, and there's going to be schools that are going to want to turn up and have their say and say they've been excluded from the scheme? And it's relevant to the bill because the bill also includes wide discretion for the minister yourself to not let schools have that payment. You don't agree with that, it's in the public
interest. But ultimately the Select Committee have no ability to, through the consideration of the bill, recommend a shift to the decile 1 to 7 policy. That's a government policy decision. It's not actually part of the bill.
So far, hearings have taken place for the Ministers of Immigration, Revenue, Health, Housing, Children and Seniors, and will continue into the coming weeks. I te whakarongo koe ki te whare. You've been listening to The House. He hōtake e puaki nā tētahi pūtia āwhina nō mai i te pārimata. Mā te wā.